From WGCU News, I'm Amy Tardiff. There's an ongoing effort to change the reputation of mullet. The fish was mostly used as bait, but now mullet and its roe are appearing on menus at fancy U.S. restaurants, and business owners are betting on a growing demand for the fish. WGCU produced this story on Southwest Floridians who are giving mullet a second chance.
My name's Michael Shane Dooley. I'm a third-generation Pine Island commercial fisherman. Usually around Thanksgiving, the 1st of January, we've got our big mullet run. Them fish bunch up to make their move to the Gulf of Mexico, and that's when you see your really big schools of fish. You can almost walk on them.
My name is Steve Gober. I'm the owner of Stan's Eyelar Restaurant in Goodland, Florida. They catch them, they take that roe out, and they ship it to China. You know, they get big bucks for it. That part of it's popular, but it's not very well known as a fish that you would actually eat. It is actually good to eat, but it's considered a bait fish. They mostly use that mullet to catch the stone crabs and put them in their traps.
My name's Donald Sawyer. I was born and raised in Pinellas County, commercial fisherman. I just think it's got a bad rep from day one. Back in the 50s and 60s, the biggest dealer in the state was probably Pinellas Seafood, which bought most of the fish on this coast. They tried to change the name to Lisa. They tried pickling it. They tried canning it. People just don't give it a try to give it a chance.
My name is Karen Bell. I am an owner of Starfish Company, an owner partly with my uncle of A.P. Bellfish Company. I do not understand it. People in the main part of the country consider it a trash fish. And I don't know who started that nasty rumor, but they're wrong because it's inexpensive compared to your offshore species. And it's actually probably better for you because it's got that higher oil count.
My name is Ken Lieber, and I am an associate vice president of research at Moat Marine Lab. In 89, I believe, we began to see some of the first rules come into place for the sizes of mullet that could be caught, the quotas on how many could be caught. For a long while, there was even a restriction on fishing on the weekends for mullet in Florida. Then in 95, when there was a constitutional amendment to change the fishing strategy away from entangling nets and gill nets, the fishery dropped down from about 26 million pounds a year to 6 to 7 million, and then it stabilized at around, on the west coast of Florida, 8 to 9 million pounds a year. Right now, the biological sustainability of the fishery is pretty good.
I'm Christopher Cogan, CEO of Healthy Earth. The gillnet ban helped the mullet fishery. The problem is they didn't think about the fishermen. They'll be getting paid a higher value for those male fish because we'll be taking the fillets, we'll be smoking them and adding value to them. We'll be using them for omega-3 fish oil, whereas before, they were getting thrown away.
I'm Seth Cripe, the founder of Healthy Earth Gulf Coast and Cortez Botarga. Botarga is essentially salt-cured mullet roe. The waiter had this piece of mullet roe and grated it like Parmesan cheese over this pasta course and said, this is salt-cured mullet roe from Sardinia, from Italy. It's a very rare delicacy. And I called my friends that night, and I was telling them, like, I had this product at this great restaurant out here, and we've got to make this here. Like, they told me they were paid $300 a pound for it. I came back here that year and started trying to figure out how to salt cure and produce Botarga. We were the first Botarga producer in America. The whole plan was always to brand Florida Gulf Coast mullet roe, produce it here, add the value here, pay the fishermen more money, create jobs, and preserve the industry for the future.
Amy Wirtz, I am the fish house manager. Pelican Point Seafood. I would say on average, a regular mullet day would be about 20,000 pounds. We've had several days where we'll unload 50,000 pounds plus in a 12 to 15 hour time frame. The boats are and trucks are lined up, blocking the street. We unload, we vat them up, ice them down, and then we ship them off to different processors all over.
I'm Seth Cripe. Through California, we have distribution called Water to Table in San Francisco. And then New York, we have a great distributor there as well. And then select cities throughout the country. The more progressive cities, food-wise, tend to be the ones that order our Botarga. So Nashville, New Orleans, Chicago. Everybody in Florida laughed at me. But now, it's one of the things that I'm most proud of is that we've gotten a lot of chefs and a lot of places around here have actually started to use it.
Tonight I'm making a mullet tandoori style. It's an Indian style of cooking in a clay pot.
And it's all logistics and figuring out how we can get the fish where it needs to go. And mullet doesn't hold up that well, all of those little details. But once we figure that out and get it to the right people that can sort of spread the word, sort of like we did with Batarga, we'll see it go.
The skin's left on. The skin actually blisters a little in the heat. I'm going to serve it with some coconut jasmine rice and a peach and red pepper chutney.